Skip Heitzig encourages us to stop thinking of fasting as something that only certain very holy people do, but something that should be a part of the regular routine of everyone.
Just like giving of alms, doing charitable deeds, just like praying, fasting, it seems to be in that normal regimen of spirituality for the believer. He doesn't say if you do a charitable deed, if you pray, if you fast, but when you do a charitable deed, when you pray, and when you fast. That's important. Fasting isn't confined for some spiritual elite group who would live in a monastery, but it is for the normal believer.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins.
Self-deprivation isn't something we practice much here in America. Our culture is constantly encouraging us to indulge in whatever we want because you're worth it, or you deserve a break today, or we should be able to have it our way. As we've been learning in our current series, however, the principles of God's kingdom are often the exact opposites of what we see in society. And Skip Heitzig examines that in more detail today on The Connection as we take a closer look at fasting. But before we get started, here's a letter we recently received from one of our listeners. And this note comes from Ken in New York State, and he shares, "One day I was working down in the middle of a nuclear power plant, like the belly of an engine, and just got done listening to Skip on some of his ministry helping people with marriages. And I was talking to a friend who also knew Skip from Albuquerque. We were able to have some great fellowship right there in the power plant. Skip has helped me so much, and I'd just like to thank you for all you people do, because you have given me the tools to reach others. And it sounds like some of those others are at work, Ken, so we thank you for taking the time to write us here. And if you'd like to write us as well, the address is The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. You know, voluntarily depriving ourselves of food or other items isn't exactly something that's encouraged in our culture. But as we're about to discover, fasting should be a regular part of the Christian life because of its many benefits. Stay with us to find out more.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
We'll continue our study in Matthew chapter 6 today. So if you find your place in your Bibles, we'll join Skip Heitzig as he begins today's study.
In Matthew chapter 6, actually 5, 6, and 7, is the theme living life against the flow. Now, in our verses this morning, you're going to see how much against the flow it is. Look at verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, great message before lunch, isn't it? Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Sometimes we come to a text of Scripture and we wonder, what relevance does this have in my life now? And a text like this, what would fasting have to do with me? Apart from dieting in our country, we don't think a whole lot about fasting. We love food. In fact, we'll even name cities after food. Here's a couple of examples. There's a town in Florida known as Two Egg, Florida. There's also Bacon in Delaware. There's a town called Pancake, Texas. There's Toast, North Carolina. There's even Jelly, California. Hot Coffee, Mississippi. You got a complete breakfast right there. And I guess if you want to top it off with orange juice, well, we have, including our own, 8 counties called Orange County. The Bible mentions fasting about 60 different times. That's a lot of places. In fact, that's more times than important subjects like baptism or taking the Lord's Supper. It's mentioned in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. The idea of fasting sounds strange to us because in our culture, we're not much about self-denial. It's all about self-gratification. We live in a gratification-oriented culture. And to a lot of us who would say, I'd never smoke, I'd never chew, I'd never drink, we would think nothing about gluttony, for example. There's a story about D.L. Moody who came and met with Charles Spurgeon. Dwight L. Moody was the evangelist from Chicago, very famous back in the 1800s, and Charles Spurgeon was like this mega preacher in Victorian London. Moody always wanted to meet Spurgeon. So one day he actually took a trip, went over to England, and he met Charles Spurgeon. What he didn't know is that Spurgeon was fond of smoking cigars. And Moody, that was taboo. When Moody first met Spurgeon, Spurgeon came to the door with a big old stogie, took it out of his mouth, shook his hand, and Moody was stunned. And he said to Spurgeon, "How can you, as a man of God, do that?" Well, Dwight Moody was a rotund kind of a fella. Spurgeon, as soon as Moody said, "How can you, as a man of God, do that?" pointed to Moody's belly and said, "The same way that you, as a man of God, can do that." The theme of this section, and I think beginning all the way in verse 1 of chapter 6, is living without hypocrisy. It's genuine, authentic Christianity. Jesus is saying, pull off the masks and be real. And he nails religious pretenders who would vaunt themselves up in pride and arrogance and lack of integrity. It's as if Jesus is saying, if you're going to preach by the yard but live by the inch, you should be dealt with by the foot. And he does that in so many words, calling them hypocrites. Now, our text begins in verse 16, as we've already read, but I'm going to take you back all the way to verse 3, and I want you to notice a few things as we begin. It brings up our first of 4 points regarding fasting, and that is fasting is to be expected naturally. Fasting is expected naturally. If you go back in verse 3, Jesus says, "But when you do a charitable deed." And then in verse 5, "And when you pray." Verse 6, "But you, when you pray." And then verse 7, "And when you pray." And then go all the way down now to verse 16. "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites." So just like giving of alms, doing charitable deeds, just like praying, fasting, it seems to be in that normal regimen of spirituality for the believer. He doesn't say if you do a charitable deed, if you pray, if you fast, but when you do a charitable deed, when you pray, and when you fast. That's important. Fasting isn't confined for some spiritual elite group who would live in a monastery, but it is for the normal believer. It's part of self-control, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and self-control. Now let's back up from this and just think for a moment of fasting throughout history. A lot of different religious groups have practiced fasting. It goes all the way back to ancient times, ancient pagan religions practiced fasting. For instance, you may not be aware that some of the ancient cultic religions, and this, by the way, filtered even into some groups in Judaism, believed that demons attached themselves to food, and if you ate the food, you could become possessed. So, during times of demonic oppression or depression, people would withhold, this is their superstition, food. They wouldn't eat. They'd fast because they didn't want any further demonic activity in their lives. The ancient Greeks used to fast when they would consult an oracle, so they would get spiritual insight from the god or goddess that they were approaching. African shamans, North American Indians, Eastern yogis, all practice fasting as a way to communicate with the spiritual world, especially their dead relatives. Then among the Muslims, there's an entire month called Ramadan, where fasting is the norm. It's practiced from sunrise to sunset. No food, no drink, no smoking, no bathing for a month. It's an interesting time. The Roman Catholic Church for years insisted that there should be 2 days of intensive fasting before Easter. That later on got expanded by the 10th century to 40 days of Lent before Easter. And by that 10th century, it was then enforced. And that's what we have to keep in mind. When we go to the Bible, fasting is never enforced. It's voluntary. It's something that is done as you desire to do it on your own. It's not obligatory, with one exception. And that is in the Old Testament, there was one day a year, the highest, holiest day of the Jewish calendar, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. On that day, there was a mandatory fast for all of the children of Israel. Because in Leviticus chapter 16, the Lord says, in the 7th month, on the 10th day of the 7th month, you shall afflict your souls. And they always believed that that meant you're to do without food. You're to fast during that period of time. That's why back in 1973, on October the 6th, it was Yom Kippur in Israel. It was a day when Israel's enemies knew that they would be vulnerable. There would be no work. There would be no communications. No radio, no television, no newspapers. People would be at home, and they would be fasting for a 24-hour period. And so, at 2 p.m. on October the 6th, 1973, when the Israelis were 20 hours into their 24-hour fast, they were at their weakest, that's when Egypt and Syria attacked at that 1973 war. Now, in the Old Testament, people fasted, a number of them, Moses, Samuel, Hannah, David, Elijah, Isaiah, Nehemiah, and Daniel all practiced some sort of fast. In the New Testament, Anna practiced fasting, John the Baptist, Jesus, and members of the early church in Jerusalem and other places practiced it for specific reasons. It is a voluntary withholding of food for spiritual reasons. So that's a definition of fasting, a voluntary withholding of food for spiritual reasons. It's not a diet in Jesus' name. It's not you can lose weight and be blessed. The idea is voluntary and it's for spiritual reasons. I want to give you some of those reasons. It's just sort of a quick biblical overview of why and how fasting was practiced in the Old and New Testament. Number one, during times of sorrow, sometimes fasting was practiced. David fasted when he heard the news that Saul and Jonathan, his son, were killed on Mount Gilboa. In deep grief, he fasted and proclaimed a fast. When David heard that Abner was killed by Joab, though Abner was at one time an enemy, he fasted voluntarily. When Bathsheba's first child was sick and near death, David fasted. It's during those times, times of sorrow, you don't feel like eating a lot of the time. Times of sorrow. Number two, during times of danger. King Jehoshaphat proclaimed a national fast when they were outnumbered by their enemies, the Moabites. Before Esther approached the Persian king, King Ahasuerus, because of Haman and the evil plot to kill the Jews, the Jews in that Persian realm fasted for 3 days. As the exiles left Babylon and they were on their way to Jerusalem, before they left, Ezra proclaimed a fast. It was a dangerous journey, he knew. And so they fasted as a nation. So times of sorrow, times of danger, here's a third, during times of repentance. Sometimes repentance was accompanied by fasting, withholding of food from the body for spiritual reasons. Both Daniel and Ezra, when they found out the sins of their people, it weighed upon them So they fasted and they prayed. My favorite story about this is Nineveh. You know the story. Jonah went to Nineveh and he preached a message, no grace in it. It was all denunciatory. It was all judgment. He basically said, in a few days, you're toast. That was his message. God's going to judge you. You're going to be wiped out. God bless you. He had done his duty and he left. But it so moved the Ninevites, the king of Nineveh repented and proclaimed national repentance. It says in that book, the king then said, let no one eat or drink anything, but be covered with sackcloth, and let everyone turn from his evil way. It's, by the way, the greatest revival ever recorded in history was in Nineveh with the prophet Jonah. Here's a fourth reason it was practiced. Whenever there was an important task or ministry that the church was facing, it goes all the way back to the time of Jesus, who fasted 40 days and 40 nights before he went into public ministry. Or Acts chapter 13. It was a new episode of church history. New commissionings as the apostles were going out. In Acts 13, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So this then is the purpose of fasting. I take the focus off me, because that's where it is most of the time, and I put the focus on God and His will. It's the discipline of the body where I make my appetites my slave rather than my master. So often we're used to our bodily appetites telling us what to do. I want that now. Okay. And we go for it. But this is the discipline of the body where we make the appetite the slave rather than the master. Back in 1975, Stan Mooneyham was the president of World Vision. And he and U.S. Senator Mark Hatfield got together and proposed that the United States of America during Thanksgiving week, the Monday of Thanksgiving week, at that time in 1973, I think it was November 24th, they proclaimed it as a national day of fasting and called upon Americans to experience hunger willingly so as to reevaluate their lifestyles. Now, that's fasting. It's to be expected naturally. But if you notice in the text, go back to it, fasting can be practiced hypocritically. For Jesus said, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites. And notice this. With a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. It seems that hypocrites will go to great lengths in order to impress people. It's all about the appearance. It's all about the show. It's all about getting you to think that I'm more spiritual than I really am. And this has been a tendency with man from the very beginning. Even back in the Old Testament times, the children of Israel would practice fasting, and it wasn't sincere fasting, it was to impress people and to impress God. Isaiah chapter 58, I'll read it to you, not the whole chapter, a couple verses. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, in striking each other with fists. You can't fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. You get the drift of what God is saying? He's saying, I'm not as interested in your rituals as in your obedience. They were fasting. They were going through the motions. At the end of the day, they're beating each other up. And their hypocrisy is that they thought by fasting that their ritual could manipulate God so that they could get whatever they wanted. Well, let's move forward a little bit from the Old Testament now into the New Testament. By the time of the New Testament, generally among the Jews, there were two opposite extremes in how they viewed this activity of fasting. Number one, there was a group of people who thought fasting was absolutely morally wrong, because they said God created food and we will stand in judgment before God for every good thing we did not eat. That would be a very popular philosophy today. It's like the Miss Piggy philosophy. Never eat more than you can lift, she used to say. So they saw indulgence as good. God gave us good things. If you fast, you're withholding something good that God would want to give. But then there was the opposite end of the spectrum. They didn't see fasting as wrong. They saw fasting as righteousness, meritorious, a way to gain favor with God and the applause of men. And that's what Jesus is referring to in these verses. 2 days a week, these righteous ones, usually the Pharisees, they would fast, Mondays and Thursdays. You might ask, why Mondays and Thursdays? Well, it could be that they just thought they were good days to fast for really no reason, until you do a little bit of studying and you discover that the two busiest market days were Mondays and Thursdays. Biggest crowds were out going to the market. And these people would put on their fasting clothes. Those were the old duds. They were rags. They were torn. And they would put on their fasting makeup. Dust, a pale kind of powder so that they looked gaunt and sickly. And people would walk by them and think, they're fasting. They're so spiritual. That's exactly what they wanted you to think. It was all about the show. They messed their hair up, put their makeup on, put on the act. Matthew Henry used to say, hypocrisy is to do the devil's work in God's uniform. That's what it was. It really had nothing to do with God, had nothing to do with their love for God. Their motive wasn't, this is for God. It was about them getting recognition, them being noticed. And here Jesus denounces that hypocrisy. And his denunciation of their hypocrisy reminds me of a plaque that still hangs in a cathedral in Lübeck, Germany, that reads this. Thus speaketh Christ our Lord to us. You call me master, but you obey me not. You call me light, but you see me not. You call me the way, but you walk me not. You call me life, but you live me not. You call me wise, and you follow me not. You call me fair, and you love me not. You call me rich, and you ask me not. You call me eternal, but you seek me not. And if I condemn thee, then blame me not. It was all about the show, all show and no go.
You know, far from being something that draws attention to ourselves so we can show everyone how holy we are, fasting should be something we do in humility, out of reverence for how holy God is. And we'll continue to explore the importance of fasting and how to properly exercise this spiritual discipline when we continue with this study next time. But for now, however, we're going to have to wrap things up with a quick reminder about a Bible study series from authors Lenya Heitzik and Penny Rose, a study that could help bring fresh life into your relationship with God. Here's Skip Heitzik.
Every month on The Connection, we have a special feature called First Friday. And what this is a special interview with another person of interest in the Christian community. Well, this month, for our First Friday interview, I had the opportunity to sit in the studio with my wife, Lenya, and her co-author, Penny Rose, to talk about their Fresh Life Bible Study series. Now, this series is designed to encourage and challenge women to live according to biblical truths, so they can overcome isolation and fear. You can order the two Bible studies discussed in our interview, Live Intimately and Live Fearlessly. Here's how.
20 minutes a day. You can toss that many minutes away very easily. Lots of things compete for your time. But 20 minutes a day can begin to make a real difference in your life if you spend that time learning to live intimately.
Live Intimately is a new Bible study book from Lenya Heitzik and Penny Rose. These lessons from the upper room take you to the final instructions from Jesus. You can live intimately. Start today, devote 20 minutes a day, and you'll begin to draw closer to the life with God that you desire.
And now you can get both books in the Fresh Life series for only $25. That's Live Fearlessly and Live Intimately for a special low price of $25 for both books. or purchase each book separately for only $14.99 from the Connection Resource Center. Just call 1-800-922-1888, or you can order online at connectionradio.org.
Now, for a copy of today's message on CD, just call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. Each copy is just $6, including shipping. But also keep in mind the reason we're able to bring you these daily studies with Skip is because of the support of listeners like you. So find out more when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
And make the connection.
We'll explore some more of the do's and don'ts of fasting when we continue with today's message next time. So I hope you'll set aside some time to join us. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications.